Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, 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 Neo, Neo, baby, love, say,
I want to tell the truth, man.
Great morning. Welcome to Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio. I see we have a couple of callers on the line. If you could keep your phone on mute, and at probably in about 20 or 30 minutes, I will be unmuting you for any questions from Ms. Shalonda. So I appreciate you guys getting on the call. I'm going to open up with some announcements. I'm looking for some, people that's looking to advertise, promote commercials. Maybe you're looking for a radio interview or some radio spins, either for your business or maybe your author, life coach. I'm looking for you. So if you're interested in getting on Faith Focus Blog Talk Radio Show, you can reach me at faithfocusedfinish@gmail.com. That's faithfocusedfinish@gmail.com. Guys, listen, this is a global platform where you, it's not like a regular radio station where if you go out of your area, you can hear static. This is a global platform. So basically what that means is not only will, if you come on my show where, people will be able to hear you from all around the world, but you can actually go back and listen to the episode. So if it's a time that you miss one of my live feeds, you can also go back and either download the episode or you can listen to it. So we have some people that was on before, like the Queen of Hearts, Ms. Keisha Wade. She had a song that came out, Love Languages. She will be coming back on for another episode with her music. We had Mr. Derek on. He actually was a credit specialist. He was just telling his journey about, you know, building his business. So that was pretty cool listening to him and talking with him. We have Antonio Brooks, who talked about what he went through with child support and the things he had to, you know, he actually was paying the mother without going to court. And actually, when she decided to take him to court, the judge told him that all the money that he gave her was gifts. So they put him at $25,000 behind in child support. So, you know, make sure you check out that episode. Plus, he also have an organization where he help people that have cancer help pay for their bills. So, for instance, if you have a light and gas bill that need to get paid, he actually helps people out of his own pocket pay their bills. And so actually me and him are going to be doing a live feed where we're going to be doing donations to help him out with that. So I'm pretty excited about that. Yesterday we had Dr. Chantrice Holloman. She actually had a heart attack and woke up and had an infection in her legs, and they had to amputate both her legs. So she was just, you know, telling us about her positive journey through all of that. And that was pretty exciting, that interview. Today we have Ms. Yolanda Compass. She's the author of Breaking Free of the Cycle of Destructive Relationships. So I'm super excited to have her. She was actually on another show that I was hosting before. So I wanted to bring her back on so she could finish telling us about her book, because we didn't get a chance to finish going through the book. So I said, you know what, let me reach back out to her and invite her on my platform. So I want to welcome Ms. Yolanda Compass to my Faith Focus and Finish Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, Ms. Yolanda. How are you?
Hello. Good morning, Lady Faith. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm great. I'm great. I won't dare complain. And if I did, it's not going to work anyway. It's not going to help anyway. So, so how's the weather there?
It's really nice. It has cooled down a little bit, so it's like in, I think it's in the 70s. So it is really, really nice. We had some bad weather last week, but everything seems to be really, really nice right now.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought I saw something like that on somebody's page, that it was tornadoes or something that hit down out that way. So that's why I figured to ask you, how was it?
Yeah. Actually, the tornado hit very close to where I live. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. But God is good. So.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All the time. All the time. So, Ms. Yolanda, tell me a little bit about yourself before we get started, about your book.
Sure. Well, I am 40 years old, and I was raised in an unstable, dysfunctional home. My parents loved me, but I witnessed my mother being abused. I witnessed her being physically abused. Both of my parents have been married multiple times, and we struggled. So my mother, I'm one of three children. I've witnessed a lot of abuse. I was also abused by her second husband, and I. Despite all the instability, the poverty, the lack, I had to find the courage within myself to press forward, to set high standards for myself, to be a star student, you know, to achieve high academic goals. I went on to attain an athletic scholarship to play volleyball for Texas Tech University. And then I went on, I obtained an engineering degree, went on to law school, and got my law degree. And now I'm working for the United States Patent and Trademark Office as a patent examiner. But throughout my young, my teenage years on up to my early 30s, my life was filled with destructive, toxic relationships. I was constantly devalued and degraded by men, and ultimately led to a very emotionally destructive marriage when I was about 31 years old, 32 years old, and that marriage was so destructive, it turned my life completely upside down. When we separated, I met someone else, got pregnant, lost a child 5 months into the pregnancy, and nearly lost my life. And so after all of that happened, I didn't even have, my relationships were so unhealthy. I didn't even have anyone to pick me up from the hospital. I had no one to check on me. No one called me. I was completely alone, and I was left. I had no other option but to go to God and to ask and basically beg, you know, for help. And I knew at that point that if I did not change my lifestyle, that I was going to die. So it was at that point, at my lowest point, that, you know, I basically went to God and rededicated myself, and he turned my life around. And when he turned my life around, the transformation was so dramatic that I couldn't help but share my experience with others. So it's my purpose to help other people to break free from the cycle of destructive relationships.
So tell me what. So I know that's the name of your book, but what event happened? Because sometimes events happen that make people say, you know what, I need to tell my story. Was it a particular event that happened to you that made you want to say, you know what, I need to write this down, write a book, and tell my story? What was that event, if you don't mind sharing with me?
Well, like I said, it was a whole lifetime of destructive relationships. So starting from when I was very, you know, when I was in my teens, I started having having sex, didn't understand what I was doing, and where I lived, and I also got pregnant. I got pregnant at 18. I didn't feel loved as a child because my mother, you know, she was really wrapped up. My parents had other priorities, we're going to put it like that. They were wrapped up in their relationships, and so I felt emotionally neglected as a child. Everything that I did, it didn't come from my parents. And so I was reaching, just doing whatever other people were doing, but I wanted acceptance. And so I got pregnant, at the end of my senior year, had my first abortion, okay, and then went on to college, and got pregnant after I graduated with another abuser. So my life has been one, you know, all kind of different people who did not mean me any good, that were in and out of my life, that literally destroyed my self-esteem, my self-worth, because all of these the different destructive relationships, I had lost my identity and I did not have an identity outside of a relationship. I was what you call a codependent person, a person who depended on relationships to get my emotional needs met, because those things were not met for me as a child. So, you know, I was always in a relationship. I can't even tell you how many different people have been in and out of my life. I was raped by an assistant district attorney at 27 and, you know, got out of that relationship, got into more relationships, and then ultimately in a very, very, very destructive marriage. And this person was far more destructive than any other person that I had had ever been involved with, and it was, things were so bad that I nearly lost my, I could have lost everything. And so, you know, here I was, I married this guy, did not know him. I only knew him for about 3 months before we got married. And when I married him, I mean, when I met him, he didn't have a job. There were, you know, he was an unstable person. But because I, you know, I was so, I was lonely, and I really wanted to have a child, and I wanted to be, I just wanted, I needed a break from all the disappointment and constant heartache that I was experiencing. And this person seemed to be like, he just seemed to be the perfect gentleman. He was just so charming and so giving and so generous. And everyone loved him. And so I said, well, he may not have a job, he may not be all of that, but I can work with him. Well, that was a very big mistake. I helped him, you know, get himself together. I did help him find a job. So he was married by the time we got married. I mean, he did have a job by the time we got married. But what I had did was I married a narcissistic person. This person was a sociopath. He was someone who he was a con artist basically. And, so it turned out nothing about what he said about himself was actually true. And so this was the kind of person that would come home and pick fights, and nothing was ever good enough. I was constantly being demeaned and criticized, but then he would turn around and apologize, and it was just constant. It was a nightmare, because a person who is, what you call an emotional abuser, this person is good at playing games with your emotions to get a reaction out of you, to get a response out of you. They want you to feel bad so that they can feel powerful. But the problem is that when you are a loving person, a trusting person, this person will have you jumping through all kinds of hoops to please them, but they can't be pleased. They are extremely selfish. You can't please them, you know. And so on the outside, you know, our marriage seemed to be, it seemed to be fine. This person seemed to be a good person. He seemed to be awesome, but it was very much the opposite of that. And like I said, things got so bad for me that I nearly lost my job. That was kind of the breaking point. Was I said I wasn't gonna, you know. My credit had tumbled, my self-esteem had tumbled. I was on various different kind of psychotic medications. I was extremely stressed out and depressed, but I said I wasn't going to lose my job. And so when I moved back to D.C. to try to save my job, with the understanding that he was going to join me, that's when I found out what was really going on in the marriage. And it turned out that he was having multiple affairs while we were married. Everything about our marriage was a sham. And I stopped counting at like 22 women in 3 weeks. So,
wow.
I really can't even tell you. I can't go into the, you know, I would have to, there's no way that I could sum up for you the horror that I went through. But I am just so thankful that I made it out of that. But and then after that, to turn around and meet someone and get pregnant very quickly, and someone with very similar traits, that's when I knew that there was something about me that was attracting these kinds of people. I knew, when I nearly, all of those things had to happen, you know, my life turning upside down, finding myself, going back and forth to the clinic when I was married. I didn't see any of this happening. Extreme depression, not having, nearly losing my life. I mean, there were so many things that happened that I mean, my life began to spiral out of control, and I had no idea what was going on and why these people were acting that way. And that's when I found out that the fact that these people were not normal people, that I was being abused in all of these relationships. And then I started studying different types of abuse, and I prayed to God about it. And I asked him, you know, and then it all made sense, because if you study, you know, relational, you know, different types of relationship abuse, if you study domestic violence, if you study emotional abuse and physical abuse and sexual abuse, you will see that those are, that there are certain types of people who are very, very vulnerable, you know, to experiencing these things, especially if you grew up in a household where you witnessed those things. If you grew up and you did not get the emotional support that you needed, if you were physically abused, if you were neglected as a child, all of these things, in addition to having, you know, worldly standards, you know, they are, it basically makes you very susceptible and very gullible to being abused. And so when God delivered me, part of my spiritual journey, you know, part of, you know, going through what I went through, when I came out of that thing, I spent a lot of time alone with God. I had to spend a long time with God for me to maintain my sanity, because I was at a breaking point. So, and I did not have anyone else. So when I say I spent a long time with God, I spent many, many hours alone with God on a daily basis without any interaction with other people. I was completely isolated, reading Christian material, reading books about godly relationships, understanding the character of God, reading my Bible. It was through that the Holy Spirit, you know, was able to begin to make some really, really substantial changes in my heart and reveal to me what my purpose was, and that all of these experiences that had happened to me and God delivering me from those things was part of my purpose. That these things were not in vain, that God wanted me to tell my story so that other people could know the truth about who they were, that their identity is in Christ, so that they can also be free.
So let me ask you this. When you was into different relationships, have you ever told these people that you were, that, you know, your background as far as growing up and other relationships you were in, as you guys were getting to know each other, did you share any of that information with those people?
Oftentimes, yeah. I honestly, I can't even remember how many different relationships I was in because I was in a lot of them. Most of the time, I was pretty open about, you know, my family. But also, it was obvious because I didn't have anyone. So, it was obvious, you know. I didn't have, you know, brother and sister and mother and father, you know, to have me like that. When I graduated college, when I graduated high school, you know, I went to college alone in a different city, came back to Houston, went to law school alone in another city, was displaced by a hurricane. Then I moved to Atlanta alone. While I have family there, I basically have been alone. So it was pretty obvious to those people that I was a loner.
Well, one of the reasons why I asked you that question, because a lot of times people feed off of that conversation. And when I say that, they'll try to treat you the same way they heard that you were used to getting treated, and they think that's how they should, like, they think that's the way you want to be treated. And the reason why I'm saying that, because I'm thinking back on some of the relationships I had in the past and things that I've shared with them, it's like they feed off of that. So although you want to be open and honest with people, sometimes you got to be very careful with people too, because the thing is, people are not going to treat your heart the way you want your heart to be treated. Or they're going to treat it the way they want to treat you. And so you just got to be so very careful, not saying a lie to people, but, you know, not, just giving all of your heart to people when you first meet them, because people are not going to protect it like you're going to protect your heart, if that makes sense. And so I learned that in some of my past relationships. So, yeah, I mean, yes, I am open to them about certain things, but not in the beginning, because they say it take about 6 months to a year to really get to know someone. I mean, to start seeing some of the signs that might be red flags for you, because what might be red flags may not be red flags for you, might be red flags for me, if that makes sense. So, And I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I've been in some relationships that was, you know, less than me knowing them less than 6 months. Actually, I'm just getting out of one myself. And so, you know, I know that I said to myself this last time, I cannot give all of me so fast. You got to give bits and pieces, because again, people use that against you, you know. And for the people that don't know, I met Ms. Yolanda, I think it's about 2 weeks ago, in person. She seemed like a very nice person, kind-hearted, very gentle. I liked your energy. And so, it's just about protecting your surroundings and protecting your heart and protecting your energy, your environment. Because people don't respect it the way you would respect it, you know, if that makes sense. So... So when you started getting, let's talk about, if you don't mind, let's go back to your husband or the last two marriages you were in. How soon did it start? When you start noticing patterns with those two guys that, you know, okay, like red flags?
Okay. So let me go back to address what you were talking about. So what you're talking about, when you talk about opening up too soon to people, I talk about that actually in chapter 6. And those are what we call boundaries, okay? So one of the things that I was able to do when I say God transformed me was I learned that I was a valuable person. And as a valuable person, as someone who is loved by God, I naturally learned how God showed me that it was appropriate for me to have boundaries, not only to have boundaries in my relationships, my romantic relationships or any potential romantic relationship, but also boundaries with friends and boundaries with family members, because there were so many different, I was being affected by toxic relationships from my friends, from my family members, and also from these romantic relationships. And so what God had to do was to show me that I was not inferior, that I was loved just like he loved, you know, just like he loves anyone else. And when I talk about boundaries, actually, when you walking according to the Spirit, you know, those are boundaries. God is a God of order. So when we are obedient to God, when we are walking in the Spirit and not according to the flesh, which I get to in chapter 7, when we are walking in his statutes, when we are obeying his commandments, when we are abstaining from sexual immorality, when we are reading our Bibles, when we are praying, when we are treating other people right, when we are loving him first, when he becomes our center, those boundaries protect us from people who are who have motives to harm us, people who are selfish, people who are pretenders, abuse. So therefore, whenever first of all, I don't even meet, you know, I don't even date. So, you know, so I don't have those issues anymore. I am so about my purpose that my lifestyle just doesn't even accommodate casual interactions with people. Another thing is I date for a purpose. I don't just casually meet men. I don't just casually entertain people. If you get my time, in order for me to get my time, you have to display, you know, godly behavior. You have to display the fruit of the Spirit. You have to display self-control. You have to display patience, goodness, kindness, meekness. You know, there are several, you know, and love. If you are practicing sexual immorality, if you are an impatient person, if you are arrogant, if you are selfish, if you display any of these characteristics, I'm not even entertaining you. So when I started living like that, you know, all of the abuse stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you in that, yeah, you do have to take your time, but I'm going to take it a step further. You don't mm-hmm. even entertain. I don't even entertain people unless they are godly people. And my purpose for dating is for marriage. So there is no point in me, you know, entertaining someone, going out on a date with someone, and I know that I will, you know, this is not the type of person that I want to marry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the signs, like, because again, like I said, everybody's red flag is different. So what are some of your red flags, some things that that you look at as a red flag, the things that you don't want to deal with?
Okay, so when we talk about red flags, okay, what you're looking for is, you know, the Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour. So the enemy is looking to devour us, you know. So we have to be sober. You know, the Bible also says for us to beware of the false prophets, you know, who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So our job, you know, when we are approaching relationships and any other thing in that matter, we want to be sober and we want to be vigilant. And that's where I talk about, you know, being obedient, walking in the Spirit, you know, being filled with the Spirit, using your discernment. You know, that you have to have that in order to be able to discern these characteristics. So some of the characteristics, you know, and I actually took most of this, a lot of this information from the, I got to get the name of the website, but this is from one of the domestic violence websites. I'm gonna pull up the website for you. But some mm-hmm. of the some of those characteristics of people who are not healthy people, people who are abusive, is someone who has abused other people. So someone with a history of abuse. Someone who wants to rush into a relationship. Rushing into a relationship is a very, very big indicator that something is wrong, okay? Someone who excessively showers you with attention early in the relationship and gifts. In all of these relationships that I was in, these people showered me with affection and love and attention. It was constant, nonstop flattery, and that is not healthy, actually. This is what you call, they use the term love bombing. This is what someone is doing when they want to lure you into their affection or what have you. They're trying to lure you and manipulate you. Somebody who is possessive and controlling, someone who doesn't want you to have a life outside of your relationship. That is an indication that something is wrong with that person. Okay. Somebody who is jealous, excessively jealous. There's one thing to be, you know, a little jealous, but then there are people who are extremely jealous. One of the things that, you know, I had to deal with in my relationships, including my marriage, was that now this guy was having multiple affairs out that, you know, unbeknownst to me, but he was extremely jealous. He accused me of he was always accusing me of cheating. I remember one time I didn't have my phone on me or something like that. I was went to go work out or something like that, and I left my phone in the car, and I didn't answer the phone. And this guy, I'm telling you, you know, my ex-husband was livid that I did not answer the phone, and he tried to keep tabs on me all the time. That's the reason why, you know, I mean, that's what made my situation so confusing. But yes, people who are extremely jealous, that doesn't necessarily mean that they love you. You know, it may mean that something is really, it means something is wrong with that relationship. And a lot of times that person is stepping out on you. A person who does not respect your boundaries. If you say no, or if you say something doesn't feel good, or if you say something doesn't feel right, if you say, for instance, I remember when I was married, you know, the person that I was married to wanted to do certain things sexually that I wasn't comfortable with. And there were times when, you know, he was extremely aggressive or whatever, you know, and my no didn't mean anything. That's because he did not respect my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that person really cares more about themselves than they care about you. A person who makes you feel unworthy, a person who calls you names and puts you down, that's called verbal abuse. And that's also emotional abuse as well. A person who purposely ignores you when he can't get what he wants. A person who never accepts responsibility for his choices and blames others. His or her choices, I should say that, you know, because you could be a man listening to this. A person who doesn't accept any responsibility, okay? This is a type of person who is a constant victim. Everything happens to them. They never own up to, you know, any choices that they made that might have contributed to their own dysfunction or demise or whatever. A person who takes your money or your possessions and or they want to control your finances. These are people who are not healthy people. A person with an uncontrollable temper. A person that is violent. A person that threatens to commit suicide. All of these are common traits of abusers. And this, I got a lot of this information from the National Network to End Domestic Violence.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's really crazy because sometimes people don't realize that, and you're right, abuse don't have to be physical. It can be financial and mentally. Sometimes those things is worse than being hit sometimes, you know. So,
absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to open up the lines for a minute to see if anyone have any questions for Ms. Yolanda. If you could just unmute your phone. And you can ask any questions if you don't mind. Lately, we've been having a lot of shy people lately. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break right quick, and we'll be right back, okay?
No weapon formed against me. just ain't one.
There just
ain't one.
There just ain't one.
Although they've said I'm never trapped.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Faith Focus and Finish Blog Talk Radio. And we have Ms. Yolanda Compass on, the author of Breaking Free of the Cycle of Destructive Relationships. So we were just going over, you know, some of the things that she have in her book. And so I just want to welcome you to my Blog Talk show, Ms. Yolanda Compass. So I was reading a little bit over your book. I didn't get a chance to read the whole book, so I did scan through a little bit of it. I remember reading a part where it say that you felt like you was angry with the world. I mean, you named a couple of people, but well, not persons, names. But what was it that happened that day that was different than any other day that you were upset? If you remember what I'm talking about on that part of the book. I forgot what chapter it was. I meant to write it down.
Okay, so it wasn't I want to make sure that I drive home the point that of what I was saying about obedience, because if we don't get that point, then we miss the whole book. Mm-hmm. God is drawing us to obedience. There is really no real way to break free from destructive relationships outside of Him, especially when you have a pattern, you have established a pattern of destructive relationships. God, when we make God the center of our life, He fills us with His love so that we're no longer walking around like empty vessels. We're not susceptible to abusers and people who don't really love us, because we're not looking for acceptance from other people. We already feel love. And so I want to drive home the point that in order for me to do that, I had to really begin to embrace that God loved me and to be able to look at all of my experiences and say, wow, God was there through all of that. God did this and God did that. And when He took those heavy weights of depression, and when I began to study His word and to find out just how much He loved me, and to really understand why Jesus died on the cross, and to understand what that really meant, that Jesus came not only just so that we can go to heaven, but also to give us life, an abundant life on earth, and to actually believe that. That's when, you know, I was able to make better choices, because I wanted to do what God asked me to do because, well, one, my way didn't work, but two, because He had been faithful to me, and so I just wanted to be faithful to Him. And so by me being faithful to Him, it automatically, you know, it removed all of that foolishness out of my life, because my priorities were no longer in, you know, maintaining a relationship and, you know, does this person care about me? And because I feel like an awesome person. I don't feel, you know, I know that I'm not perfect, but I feel like, you know, I feel like I have a lot to offer, and I feel like I deserve so much better. And I feel like I really want to wait for what God has for me. And so my whole, you know, where I'm at right now is walking out my purpose. That is far more important to me than being in a relationship, being married, you know, looking for a mate, you know, having someone to tell me that they love me, because I already know that I am loved. And I know that when the time is right, God will send the right person. But I also know that I have work to do here on earth. And that's what I'm here to tell everyone else. You have a purpose. You have things to do. You matter. You matter in the kingdom. And the world needs what you have, the gifts that God put inside of you. And so once you begin to recognize those gifts and start walking in that in your purpose and understanding your significance, then you will be able to break free from the cycle of destructive relationships simply because you are walking out your purpose. But now when you talked about anger, it wasn't, you know, I was angry. I had been carrying around anger for many, many years, beginning from my childhood. So, you know, growing up in a home where I felt neglected by my parents, being, you know, not having my emotional needs met, not having my parents come to my, you know, support me, you know, academically, come to my volleyball games, you know, being an all-star player, record-setting, you know, collegiate athlete, and not having my parents there to celebrate those things. Constantly doing for other people, constantly giving, constantly sharing, but then not having anyone there to, you know, to help me when I needed help, having the doctors neglect me when I was pregnant, when I was telling them that, you know, something was wrong, and then they didn't hear me, they didn't listen to me, and then it turned out I was in the emergency room a day later, going through a miscarriage. I was in labor, but I had been overlooked. I went to the doctor. They told me everything was fine, you know. And I wasn't fine. And even when I was in the emergency room, I was neglected by the doctors. So it was only the grace of God that even when I delivered my child, I was alone. You know, the doctors weren't there. So it went from, you know, just heartbreak, to, Lord, let me just make it out of here alive. So it was years of being constantly marginalized, having my feelings, you know, suppressing my feelings, going through a marriage where here I was, you know, giving my basically anything, my breath, my lungs, my money, my finances, my energy. I didn't even have any children, but this person had two children. And all kind of baggage, you know, to do that and a person just betray me and lie to me over and over and over again. And to have that happen in other relationships where a person pretended to be one thing and throughout the relationship, you know, made me feel like I was crazy for having concerns about, you know, what was going on, having issues with the way that I was being treated. And then it's come to find out that my feelings were actually very accurate. So going through that for at that time, 35 years, it was 35 years of being disappointed by people. And then having the one thing that mattered to me, which was a baby, you know, because at that point I had given up on everything. I had given up on love. I had given up on people. I had given up on family. And all I wanted was my baby. And then I didn't even have that. So I was angry with the whole world.
Right. Well, I understand that because I actually went through a similar incident where it wasn't one particular thing. It was abundance of things. And it was just one little trigger thing that took me over the edge that one particular day. So I kind of understand that, you know, once you explain that to me. Well, let me ask you, I mean, do you want to get married? Or because I'm thinking about me right now. I'm 51 years old. And in my mind, yes, I would like to be in a relationship. But at the same time, I'm like, is it even worth going through all of that? But that's just me personally. But do you want to get married again? And if so, what would you do differently?
Yeah, I do want to get married again, and I do believe, and so I walked through this in my book, because I don't believe that while I experience a lot of turmoil, every man is not a bad man. There are godly men out there, but as individual, and there are godly women out there, but as individuals, we need to, we have to seek, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. And that includes a marriage, So I do believe that God has someone for me, but he has the right person for me. He has a godly man for me, someone who is patient, someone who is loving, someone who is kind, someone who is just as generous as I am, someone who is not self-seeking, someone, he has someone for me, and my future and my purpose will be, will be fulfilled, that's all a part of my purpose is what I'm saying, and my destiny, all of that, comes together, because I do believe that I'm going to produce even more fruit. We as a family are going to produce fruit. And so, that's what we need to be thinking about when we align our lives with other people, when we're, looking for spouses, or when we're making ourselves available for a spouse, is that there's going to be fruit out of that thing. So if you are a godly woman, if you are a godly man, first of all, there is no reason why you should be, yoked with someone who is not a believer. But even if that person is a believer, you want to be in God's perfect will, because, you don't know who, what God is going to do through your marriage. And God can do some powerful, powerful things. When he puts two godly people, two God-fearing, God-centered people together. So, yeah, I do want to get married again, but I want to get married on God's timing, and I want to get married to the person that God has for me. And I do believe that that person is out there. But right now, I have a purpose. I have things to do. I have kingdom work. And I believe that, it is through this work that my spouse is eventually going to find me. But I don't have any anxiety about it. Yeah.
Okay. That's a beautiful thing. Well, we have 2 minutes left. And how can anybody get in contact with you or get a copy of your book?
Okay. Well, I am also the founder of Break Free Ministries. That was, another thing that happened after I, published this book. The website of Break Free Ministries is Break Free Ministries is to help others break free from the cycle of destructive relationships through knowledge of their identity in Christ. And we want to help others live more purposeful, prosperous lives. And that website is www.breaktheyoke.org. And my other website is for YRC Aspire Enterprises. That is my LLC. And that website is YRC Aspire, ASPIRE.com. My book can be purchased through YRCAspire.com. It can also be purchased on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. So there are various ways that you can, that you can contact me, or you can order it directly through Amazon. And that book, again, is titled Break Free from the Cycle of Destructive Relationships.
All right. There it is, guys. Well, on that note, nobody can go back. Nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. And that's my quote for today. I want to welcome you guys. Thank you guys for getting on a Faith Focused Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. We are on Monday through Saturday, although I won't be on tomorrow, from 11 to noon Eastern Standard Time. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3741. Make sure you follow us on Blog Talk Radio / Faith Focused Finish. And Ms. Yolanda, I appreciate you getting on the show. And you have a great day. We get ready to get cut off. So have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right.